the Raising Grace podcast. This is your host, Sheila Chester. I'm the mother of three children, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm reaching out to regular parents just like you and I to help me find the best ways to help my kids and myself thrive. We all are different, you and I, and with a little grace, we can do this. Austin Anderson is the mother of four children, including boy-girl twins. She has navigated parenting children with severe food allergies for the last 8 years and talks about raising four kids as a stay-at-home mom. Welcome, Austin.
All right, so why don't you start by telling me about your family?
Let's see, my family is my husband and myself, and we have four kids. We have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and our twins are 3. They're almost 4. That's us.
Do you live near any family?
Yes, we live about 50 miles away from my mom and my sister, and roughly 100 miles away from my dad and my brother and my grandpa.
And how often do you see them?
We see my mom and my sister often. I see my mom like once or twice a week, and we see my sister quite a bit. I mean, she has kids and their own schedule, and you know, when we meet up, we see her. And when we make a trip the other direction to see the other family, it's hit and miss every once in a while.
How much of your community do you use to help parent these four kids? Because do you work?
No, I am a stay-at-home mom. And like our community, we live in Billings, so it's like, you know, big town, not huge. We have friends through our church. We have friends through like school. Basically started with my oldest. When she started preschool, I have like a circle of friends through that preschool. And then when my middle daughter started preschool, I have a circle of friends through her preschool. And now that two of them are in elementary school, we kind of have a circle of friends through the elementary school. My husband has work friends, but he's an engineer, so he keeps his work friends at home.
Same. Those people stay at work. They're not going to help us. Right. Yeah. I'm in charge of finding our family community so that we can help raise our kids.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We live in a really nice neighborhood, and we have like neighbors across the street, and we have some neighbors down the street. And then we have, we have some elderly neighbors that are awesome. Like, you know, we have a very nice neighborhood.
That's really handy. I think it's important to have those people around you. So yes. How have you survived having four kids so far in the last, they're 3, right?
The twins are 3. Yes. Yeah.
How is 4 different from 2? Because you went from 2 to 4.
I did. I've always heard like other moms say, well, once you have 3, it doesn't really matter how many you have.
Yeah, that's a lie.
I missed 3. So I don't really know if that's true or not, but I kind of get it. Like true. Once you have 4, it's like, it's already hard. So it's not going to get any, I'm not going to have any more. So I don't know, but I would think it's not going to get that much harder, but also your olders are getting older. The first year for the, like, that the twins joined us was hard. I mean, it was just hard. there's no other way around it. It's just hard.
Well, they were also they're preemie.
Yes. They were born at 32 weeks. So we were in the NICU, and I'm so thankful that we lived in Billings. So the NICU was in Billings, and we got to be, you know, I was basically at the NICU from 8 to 5, and Clint would go before work. So he'd go from like 5 to 8 in the morning. But I still got to come home at night and be with my big girls. My mom moved in with us when the twins were born, pretty much. She was here probably for a good solid 3 months, just helping. Cause Clint went to, I mean, he took time. He did take some time off, but it was like, he couldn't take all that time off. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was like, in my opinion, like after they were about 3 months old, it got easier. But if you would ask my husband, he would have a totally different answer. But I do think by the time they were like 3 months old, I mean, yes, it was still hard, but we still had, like, I felt like I had my routine down and I knew what to, I mean, it was crazy, but it was doable.
Well, you survived it. And that's what.
Yes. And now they're almost four and there's new challenges, but they're, I don't feel like there are any different challenges than with my older two. There's just.
But you're also having both older two are in school now.
Yes.
Whereas so when the twins were born, everybody was home.
Yeah. The year the twins were born, my oldest was in preschool. And that was, you know, as a stay-at-home mom, you know, you kind of do, you do all the field trips, you do the drop off, you do the pickup. And so that was actually a really hard thing for me when I was pregnant with the twins and then they were born and I had to really rely on more people than what I was used to. As in, you know, I had friends and I'm like, okay, I can get my kid to school. Like, you know, I was like, but can somebody please bring her home? Simple stuff that I wasn't used to having to do, because when you're a stay-at-home mom, it's just part of your day is doing all that stuff. Right. So they were born December of 18 and then they were NICU babies. So the NICU doctors were they were like the day I left, you know, like this looked ingrained in my head because the NICU doctor came and talked to me and she said, you know, influenza, this is influenza season, RSV season, they are preemies. You need to hunker down. And I'm like, okay. So for like the first 6 months, we really did that. I mean, we were, yes, like my oldest was still coming and going from school, but we didn't do a lot. We stayed, but also I nursed them. And so honestly, feeding them outside of the house was a challenge. I mean, yes, like I pumped and we did other things as well, but the thought of nursing them in public, it was too hard.
It's constant because you're constantly doing, you're like, why am I wearing clothes right now?
Well, I tandem fed them. So it's really no different than feeding.
Oh, you tandem fed them?
Yes. So there was no way to there was no way to do it in a polite public way. So yeah. So the first 6 months we kind of hunkered down. We did follow their rules, the doctor's recommendations. And then let's see, then they turned a year in December and then COVID hit that our school shut down in March. So my kids were very, especially the twins, they became very unsocialized. And so it kind of got all those like things that you're teaching your kids at that age, like how to eat at a restaurant or how to do all these things. Like they missed that. I feel like they do okay now, but there was a couple, like Clint and I both were like, whoa, we missed that valuable stage of like that 1 to 2 when they are learning how to act in public and how to behave at the grocery store. But we survived it. And now they do great most of the time.
I remember going out one time and I'm like, wow, this is the baby's first time at a restaurant and she's over one. That never happened.
Yes, the same thing happened. Yep, same thing happened with us.
Because you were just trying to, like, you had to worry about their immune system with their prematureness. That's just
part of and once they were like over one, I was a little less worried about things like that. But then, you know, COVID was new then, and nobody really knew. And you know, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. So, but yeah, I think we relaxed a little bit more. But even before I had kids, I mean, I'm pretty germ aware is what I would like to call it. So
also a rule follower. So it's not like you're going above and beyond what the doctors asked you to do. You're just like, no, I'm doing what the doctor
asked. Yeah, like, you know, if they recommend you some, yeah, especially when they were preemies. I'd never done preemies before. And it was kind of scary because I was aware that, okay, what if one baby gets sick and has to go back to the hospital? Like, I still have a baby at home. So, like, those little things were kind of a, definitely something to follow. Like, you were like, yeah, let's follow those recommendations and just go with it.
And not take those chances and worry about what could have happened. And if it does happen, could I have prevented it by following what I was
told? Yeah. And mom guilt, you know, it's great.
Yeah. I'm fully aware. So how have they grown? There are three now, almost four. Yes. There'll be four in a month. How are they progressing?
They're doing fine. I mean, they're just like any other 4-year old. Aubrey she's a little bit more, she has more respiratory issues. So like when she gets a cold, it lasts like forever and she coughs for months and months. And, you know, but that's really the only thing that I feel like is different than the others. I mean, my kids they all have both the twins have food allergies along with their middle sister. So that's just a part of our life as well.
Well, let's get into that. Let's talk about food allergies, because that to me has always terrified me. And I've always worried that, oh my God, if my kid has a peanut allergy, I don't even know what I would do. And I don't even know how I would cut that out, or an egg allergy or milk, like all these things that I'm eating all the time. How do you even deal with that? Let's talk about your, Marin is
7. She just turned
7. Let's talk about her, because that was your first experience with allergies.
Marin was our first with allergy. And it was, in the beginning, it was really scary because we didn't know what it was. So we're trying to figure it out. We're living in a small town. And
what was happening?
I didn't really know what was happening. It was like this, the first time it happened, I had no idea what was going on. She wasn't even eating, like she was just starting solids. So she was like, gosh, 6 months, maybe getting close to 7 months. And it took me a long time. Like I didn't like connect the dots for a while, but there's just one night and, Clint was gone. He was out of town. And I had fed the kids like normal and Marin was just starting solids. And so I think she was eating like an avocado or something. And she got really sick, really sick. I mean, like projectile vomiting everywhere and like turning kind of greenish, like her color. She was just like limp. And I was like, what is going on with this child? And then it kind of was like, and it was that, you know, my first thought was I just got to get Skylar to bed so I can deal with this. So I did put Skylar to bed and I could deal with this. And then she kind of like slowly came around and everything was fine. It went through my head a million times. Like, do I take her to the ER? But then it was like a small town ER. I was like, well, then are they going to send us like to a bigger hospital via ambulance? And what am I going to do with my, it was a lot was going through my head in such a short amount of time. And I still was like, she had avocado. So I was like, she's not having a reaction to avocado because she'd already had it and did fine. And then it seriously was probably about 2 weeks later, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I remembered Skylar had had peanut butter and jelly that night. And I probably used the same knife to cut the avocado. So that was when I started to think maybe it's like it was food allergy stuff. And if I remember right, they didn't really want to start allergy testing until she was about 1, but she had horrible eczema, this poor kid, like her whole body. She was awful. So then they were like, okay, so we did a lot of eliminating stuff, but it was like, let's eliminate gluten. So like her first year, I feel like we eliminated gluten and then we kind of messed around with that for a while. And then finally, like we moved and then, we established a pediatrician and I had told her like I hadn't tried any of after that. I kind of got scared. So I hadn't tried peanut butter with her. I hadn't tried eggs with her because I was afraid of what the next thing. I wanted to kind of have established care with a doctor before we just like dove into this. And so my pediatrician's like, well, just try it. Try eggs. I'm like, okay. So we did. And she had a horrible reaction. Like she, you know, vomited. She had hives, rashes, the whole shebang. And so then we got referred to an allergist and we finally got to do allergy testing where they tested her for, at that time, it was just peanuts and eggs. And they did the skin testing. She was allergic to them. And then we did blood work to see like her levels. So then the allergist was like, okay, we're finally ready to do like a taste challenge in the office. So we did that with peanut butter and she ended up having an anaphylactic reaction within, oh my gosh, maybe it was probably less than 5 minutes. And we're talking like the first dose is like the tip of a Q-tip. So that's when we realized, okay, this is real and life is going to change quickly, because then we had to change things at home. So that was really scary. So Marin, she's the only time she'd had an anaphylactic reaction was at the doctor. And thank God we were at the doctor.
Never want to repeat that again.
No.
So what does an anaphylactic reaction look like?
For her, you could visibly see her like struggling to breathe. She was only 2. So you could physically see her like not like the heavy breathing, like hard to breathe. And then you could just see like her color changes, but they don't let it like progress very far. I mean, they were right there giving her the.
And they just give her Benadryl?
No, they do like the EpiPen, basically. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then you have to stay there then for like hours because they monitor her then. Yeah. So that was our first and only. And, but after you see that, and the doctor says to you, because she is anaphylactic, we have to be super careful about even the, you know, when you're reading labels on the food, you know, Marin can't have anything that contains nuts, but also if it's in the same factory or it's manufactured on the same equipment, she can't have any of that. So that gets tricky. Later, like I think the next year is when we tested her for tree nuts, and she's actually more allergic to tree nuts than she was to peanuts. So that makes me super nervous. So we've never done like a taste challenge because we don't need to, because we know like the test showed us that she's more allergic to the tree nuts than the peanuts. So that means it would be off.
So how do you have to, what did you have to adjust in your life? Like, first of all, peanuts, what are some things that have peanuts in it that I wouldn't think have peanuts in it?
I think peanuts are pretty, peanuts are in things that you think, I don't think peanuts hide very well, if that makes sense. She's also allergic to eggs. So the eggs are the tricky one. Because there's things, eggs are in, I feel like, everything that you don't even think about. Like, obviously, they're in almost every condiment, like dressings, that sort of thing. They're in marshmallow fluff. Like, you can have marshmallows, but you can't have marshmallow fluff. I mean, just, like, all those, like, weird things that, yeah. I'm a really good label reader. I have to, and even if I've bought the same thing a million times, I still read the label every time, because I don't know, what if they change the way they manufacture it, or what if something changes? And yeah, I read every single thing every single time I buy it. And like, if I do like a grocery pickup maybe, and I don't get to read the label like in the store, I read it as soon as it gets home, like as I'm putting it away, just because I don't know, just to make sure.
What about pastas?
The thing with eggs, since eggs is not anaphylactic for any of my kids, because the twins have egg allergy and then Aubrey has a peanut allergy. Aubrey is not anaphylactic. So it's a little bit still scary, but it sounds funny, but it's a little bit more like relaxing knowing that she's not anaphylactic. She gets hives and she
You're not going to die. This is a non-death allergy. And she, this is just an extreme discomfort.
And she
allergy.
Like throws up a lot. So it's just like a big mess that nobody wants to deal with. And then all three of my youngers, when they have a reaction to egg, is just like vomiting, and then they get very lethargic, and they get they do get sick. We have tried a lot of, they can do baked egg. Aubrey doesn't handle baked egg really very well. Lee does pretty good with baked egg, but there's so many rules. You can't just like, it has to say, if you make a cake, you know, it has to be baked at 35 minutes at 350 and only two eggs. And there's so many rules that it's hard to, we get used to it. The scary part is, well, it's not scary. You have to really trust people. When, you know, they're like, oh no, this is egg free. I'm like, but is it? Or they're like, oh no, this is peanut free. I'm like, but like, are the chocolate chips? Like, is that label good? Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different, and everyone has a different idea. And if you don't know this, like if you don't live this allergy life, then you really, it's a weird concept to understand.
Right. I think, a lot of people, it's like when people are like, oh, they'll play it off like it's a gluten allergy. Like, oh, well, everybody has a gluten allergy. Yeah, but they don't have to carry an EpiPen around with them. And some of them do. And some of them have to have major surgery because they do have a gluten allergy. I think allergies can be played off as some like a non-issue, as, oh, people over exaggerate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's just ignore this too. And you have to be the advocate for your kids saying, no, I need them to live. And I'm sure that you also want them to live. So let's just follow the rules and do our very best. So like when you travel, how do you handle that? You just look at you eat out, how do you handle that?
So, and that's kind of something that is it's hard because, you know, like someone will come to town, like friends will come to town from out of town, or even like family rolls in from out of town. And they're like, oh, let's go eat. And of course we live here. So we try to do that. Well, where would you like to eat? You know? And then I'm like, oh, we can't go there. Oh, we can't go there. I honestly, anytime traveling outside, like somewhere we've never been, would be really hard because I have to allergy check. Basically, I prefer to call and talk to a manager, which I know is super old school, but then I can like really kind of have a better idea. But a lot of places have like an allergy menu online, so you can look it up. But like I need to, some places cook with peanut oil. We can't even walk in the building if they cook with peanut oil. So we have to know all that before we go, which isn't, I mean, luckily it's, you know, 2022. So things are easily available. I can't imagine having a food allergy. I mean, even in the 80s, I can't imagine what that was like it wasn't easy to research it and like see what was in this food. So yeah, I think,
and it was more expensive probably to get egg-free things and nut-free things. And it was, you know, whereas, I mean, even though all groceries are expensive.
Right now, yeah.
It was probably easier for you to go online and say nut-free snacks, egg-free snacks. You can probably, there's probably a blogger that has already put that all up for you that you can find.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, since I do have one kid that doesn't have food allergies, it does help to be, some, like, obviously we don't do like nuts, but there's some things that are processed with nuts that nobody else can have. But I was like, okay, well, these are cheaper. Like, you eat these. And then the other kids have to have like the Annie's. Like, you guys have to have these.
What about coconut oil? That's in a lot of things. And is that considered a tree nut?
That's tricky. They put it on the label as a, like, they'll say like tree nut and they put coconut, but like in the allergy world, like our allergist anyway, he's like, coconut's not a nut. Coconut is a fruit. Or, you know, like it's not, but people could still be allergic to coconut, but it's not.
But not under the guise of tree nut or
the twins are not allergic to tree nuts. So, but Marin, she can actually have almonds and hazelnuts. And this is the funny thing, because we learned that, like, yeah, but like in the really for anybody except for us. And because Marin is not going to know the difference between an almond and something else. So at home, we can do that sort of thing, but nowhere else. Because, and people are like, oh, well, if she can have an almond, then she can have like a pistachio. No, that will kill her. She can't. I'm thankful that there's tests that can tell us that, but it's crazy. So yeah, we read a lot of labels in our house.
And you travel with EpiPens, I assume?
Yeah. So, well, now they say to have two EpiPens because if the first one is not working, you want to have a second one. So we have six EpiPens with us.
And how much does your insurance cover those? Because I've heard they can be very expensive.
You know, our insurance does. And I kind of stock up on them I don't stock up on them, but like, I mean, I have several refills, so I will fill them when needed and keep them places that need to be kept.
Because they also expire pretty quickly too.
They expire in a year, but I think that's because they have to, right? Like they have to put an expiration date on them. My allergist has told us that there's a little window that has the fluid. If the window, like if the fluid is clear, you're good to go. But like the school will not take EpiPens that are expired, which I get it. I totally understand.
So but they will take EpiPens.
Yes, the school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I have EpiPens at school, at all of the schools, for the preschool and the elementary school, for all of my kids that need them.
So how do you, so when Marin entered into elementary school last year, right?
I was so nervous, yes.
How did that go? She obviously has lived so far, but no school lunches, I assume.
You know, our school district is nut-free. Like our kids can bring their own lunches and stuff that have, but they don't cook with any sort of nuts. So that is super helpful, knowing that there's no nuts. The egg is tricky. Our school actually has a really cool app. If it's updated, it's awesome. But it's like, I can just like type in my kid's allergy and then I open the app and it says, okay, this is the meal for today. And then it tells me if it has any of the allergens in it. Super handy. It's not always updated. That's a bummer. So yes, mostly cold lunches almost every day. I mean, I think there's when they have spaghetti, she can do that. And that's, yeah. And also it's kind of being like having a food allergy for as long as Marin has, her whole life. She's been told so much like, oh, you can't have this or you can't have this. So she is very, very hesitant to try new things.
Which in your case works very well. In my case, it's real annoying.
Well, but it's kind of annoying for me too. I mean, yes, like I want her to, she will ask if it's anything new or we're anywhere outside of home. She will be like, can I eat this? Or we're still like working on that with Lee and Aubrey. They're only three, but they're still asked, like, they don't like it. I mean, they don't like the feeling. They know how awful it is when they have their allergens. So I do think that, Marin is probably, they're picky eaters because they've been told their whole life, you can't have that, you can't have that. So they have like these five main things that they eat, you know, maybe 10 if I'm really push it, you know, but that's hard.
Well, not only do they get the, you can't have that, but if they do have that, they get deathly sick. So it's an automatic, mom said no. And then I got sick because I ate it anyway. And now I will trust everything mom says and never eat food again.
Yeah. And then it gets really tricky when the allergist is like, well, you really need to be exposing more baked egg. Okay. That's a great idea. I really want my kid to not be allergic to egg, but I really cannot get them to eat it because it makes them sick every time. They're like, does this have egg in it, mom? Are you trying to get me to eat egg? And then it's that like quick moment where you're like, do I lie? Do I tell the truth? How do I get this kid to eat this? Yeah. You bribe them into eating the stuff that you need them to eat. And sometimes that doesn't even work because it's not worth how awful they're going to feel after they eat it.
Right. That's, you can't even dose it like a lower dosage or just any egg.
No. So yeah, we do. The allergist has a muffin recipe that is, they're not the greatest, but Aubrey, like I know, because Aubrey just did a baked egg challenge at the allergist and she failed it, but I know that she can have like a quarter of a muffin without puking. But that's a quarter of a muffin where she's sick at a quarter of a muffin. Feels awful. So ideally, the idea is to keep that, like keep her eating a quarter of a muffin. But
and then have her
one
feel
thing sick. You cannot do is you cannot force your child to eat.
Yeah, I've noticed. I have. Yeah.
So
but also on top of that, like you're asking your child to eat and that child, he's like, listen, we've done this before. This is going to make me feel like crap. You're asking me to eat this anyway. You're like, uh-huh. Yep.
Please. Yeah. Yeah. And we go over the, yes, if we do this, we hope that you will no longer be allergic to eggs. And then like Marin's kind of getting it. Like she's seven now. And she's like, okay, I want to. Just last night, she's like, mom, I want to. So I gave her a quarter of a muffin and she was miserable all night.
Oh, and so, that's so
I know, because she wants to try ranch dressing. And that's her thing right now. She's like, I just want to try ranch. I'm like, well, you have like this, like the ranch that you mix in the sour cream. She's like, no, I want to try this, the ranch that Skylar eats. This was just last night. I'm like, okay, I want to eat an egg muffin. I'm like, okay, let's try it. And it just, now she probably won't now for a couple of weeks because she's remembers right. How awful it is. It's tricky. And it's, I would love for my kids not to be allergic to eggs, but I just haven't seen that. I do know people grow out of eggs pretty quickly. Like, I think they say usually by age 5 they can, but I don't know.
It hasn't happened to me yet, yeah.
It hasn't. Mm-mm.
So no. What advice, like, what do you wish you would have known as a new mom? Like, how would you have done things differently?
With food allergies?
Yeah.
Or
you feel like you did everything you could. I mean, obviously you did everything you could with the knowledge you had, but like other moms that are dealing with this, how could you have known earlier? What signs could you have caught earlier?
You know, eczema was a big one for Marin. I mean, we were home from the hospital a day and she started getting eczema on her face. And I was nursing and eating a ton of nuts. I have no idea, like still to this day, because no one's ever said like, yeah, that's the cause. But in my mind now, knowing how allergic she is to nuts, that could have been causing her eczema. I don't know. I've always thought maybe it did, but that was probably your, like, if your kid has eczema and it, you can't get it to go away, like it's something, something's causing it. And that was our first sign with Marin. And with the twins, they actually had allergy testing because Marin was so severe. They had allergy testing before they started solids. And that was our pediatrician and our allergist wanted to do that. Because Marin,
it's not something here. Unless you have like a family history of that. That's not something you could generally.
No. Like we couldn't do that with Marin. Even I mean, we didn't know. And Marin being like with my first kid, I mean, I followed all those rules. Like he weighed a week, you know, new food weighed a week. Yeah, all those rules I was following with my oldest. My second, I got a little bit more relaxed. As in, obviously, like I. This was a little bit more relaxed. It was my second kid. And then boom. And then it's like, whoa, then you're not relaxed anymore about your food. Mm-hmm. But I think as a new, like as an allergy mom, you are like, you're your kid's first defense. And sometimes it's this fine line of like being polite and letting people know, oh, I'm sorry, they can't eat that. And then it's, I don't, some people get offended. I mean, they're like, what do you mean she can't eat this? I'm like, well, she has allergies. They're like, oh. And then I always hear that, oh, well, this doesn't have nuts in it, but it doesn't have the actual peanut in it. But like, what, isn't it, same with the egg. It might not have the egg in it, but what else does it have in it? It's, and the worst, which I've only heard this one time, and it was, I didn't even know the person, but it, that debate of, my kid can't even take a peanut butter and jelly to school. Well, mm-hmm. My kid will die. But like our school does allow kids to bring in the peanuts, and Marin has a square that's taped off in the lunchroom and nobody can sit next to the square if they have anything. And it's been fine. The last 2 years have been fine.
You know, Ellie actually mentioned the square this year.
Did she?
She's like, you have to stop making me peanut butter sandwiches, mom, because I want to sit with my friends in the square. I can't sit in there if I have peanut butter. And I was like, the square, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's a square.
There's a square.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's fine. I can get all sorts of different, like, I mean, the sun butters. Now you can get those easily.
My family uses Wow Butter. It is soy based, I believe. It's like pureed soybeans. Yeah. Or like Halloween, when you go through the candy that your kids can't eat. I mean, we had a huge, I mean, Clint took it all to work, but it was big, huge bucket of stuff that we can, and it's all the good stuff. It's the stuff that most kids fight over. Like,
what other advice do you have for people that don't, that have kids? What other advice do you have? Like how can the community help you more?
I feel like, you know, your close knit friends are going to be very, aware and respectful of your allergies. It just gets, you would be like, our world revolves around food. I mean, that's just the way it is, like socializing. So you go anywhere, you go to any event at school, there's usually cookies, or our church doesn't have too many cookies, but most churches, especially like smaller churches, they will have cookies, right? That's what you do after church. So I always, like, I have cookies in my freezer, or I have cupcakes in my freezer, because every birthday party we go to, we have to bring our own cupcakes, and we have to bring, so you have to just be very prepared. And if you find something that's allergy friendly that your kids like I stock up on it. I freeze them. I make cupcakes. They're frozen, cookies. And then I can just like grab them and go, instead of having that, you know, there's been a couple of times where we've been, you know, like visiting family in somewhere, and something pops up where it's like a birthday or something. And I'm like, I have nothing. And now I have to go small town, try to find something that my kids can eat. So luckily we do not have a dairy allergy. So ice creams also have eggs in them and nut contamination, but you can find ice cream, you know, you can find it. If you go to Dairy Queen, the ice cream straight out of the machine is safe for my kids. You can't like mix anything with it, because there's nuts everywhere. But if it comes straight from the machine, you're good. You know, like you can, you learn all those things as you go and research. I think when I started with Marin, I kind of had like a cheat sheet of like places and Billings that we couldn't go to, because they cook with peanut oil or whatever, or they have a lot of peanut items on their menu. But yeah, just be prepared, and you have to be organized. I feel like if you're not organized, I think it would be hard.
Is there anything online that you've used that has been helpful, other than like the recipes? Recipes have been helpful.
Yeah. You know, I use Pinterest a lot, and Pinterest is super obvious. I think it's user-friendly. I mean, you type in, you know, I was looking up, okay, I need egg-free pumpkin desserts. I'm starting to like think Thanksgiving, plan things. Also, the twins will do, they'll make pumpkin pie at preschool, so then I'll need to bring in an alternative. And we did make an egg-free pumpkin pie once with Marin, and it was horrible. Nobody liked it. So now this time I know, like, we'll try something different. One of like the best, okay, allergy hack is get a cake mix. Cause most cake mixes, as long as they're not like, I don't even know if they make a nut cake mix, but just get like a basic cake mix, and you get a can of whatever soda or whatever fizzy you have in your house, a can of anything. Then there's nothing else. You mix it up and you bake it. And that's the fastest. And it's so easy. I always have a cake mix, and I always make sure I have like a can of something. Cause if I need a quick cupcake or a quick cake for a kid, I can make it quickly. And it's kind of fun. I mean, we've done like a white cake with an orange pop, and then it's like tastes like orange. And my mom makes one with root beer a lot. The kids like that one. And then we just Cool Whip on top. I mean, it might not be the healthiest, but it doesn't have egg in it. Most frostings are good. I haven't, most of the basics, like Pillsbury, like I haven't ran into any frosting issues, because frosting is pretty much sugar. The main dessert thing obviously has eggs, but the marshmallow fluff has been the kicker, because Marshmallows are fine. And so when people like, sometimes they'll add marshmallow fluff into their Rice Krispies. And then I'm like, so how did you make these? I have to ask those awkward, they're not awkward, but they kind of look at me funny. Like, why are you even asking me this? We don't know any difference now. I mean, Marin's 7, so we're say 6 years into this. It's just our life now.
It almost seems like the twins are a little bit easier because they don't have the peanut.
Aubrey does have peanut. Yeah, Aubrey has peanut, but it was tricky because when they tested them at like 6 months old, they did not. Neither of them had a peanut allergy. And then so I was, but they said you need to, you know, that was hard. But Marin was older. Once she gets older, you know, she doesn't put her hands in her mouth anymore. And it's easier because we had to introduce peanut butter to them, to the twins, and they had to be eating it regularly. And they had been eating it regularly. And Aubrey had a reaction after probably eating it for, gosh, I want to say it was like probably 3 months of eating it. I'm talking like eating it like every other day. She ate, and I remember the day too, because she had more, like I had given her more than what I normally would have. And it was to keep her quiet. I was trying to get something done and she had a reaction, puking and like rash around her mouth. And I was like, son of a gun. So, and then when they tested her again, she did have a full on peanut allergy. So now we avoid peanuts for her.
Which is crazy that it showed up later.
I have been told though, that you can be 50 and all of a sudden have a peanut allergy you've been eating 50, you know, 50 and you were eating peanuts your whole life and all of a sudden have a peanut allergy. It's crazy. Or you wouldn't think, I mean, especially if you're older or you're even say your kid's 10, 12 and they have a reaction, you're not thinking it's peanuts because they've been eating it for so long. And who knows, it could be a lot of things, but food allergies are scary. I think they are scary.
Yeah. Especially with most of your family living in small towns. Even your mother and your father both live in smaller towns, don't
yes.
they?
Yes. And like in my in-laws live in a small town. And you know, when you travel to see family, bring your own food often, or we'll make sure we bring stuff that even like whatever is being cooked, like this is safe for the kids. And it's easier because I don't expect everyone to bend over backwards for us. You know, it's hard to accommodate food allergies. So that's why, again, we bring a lot of our own food when we travel.
And it's got to be also challenging to, you know, you don't want to offend anybody and you don't want to get in the wrong side of anybody. And then you stand in the kitchen and watch them cook and you're like, sorry, I don't want my kid to die. So I apologize.
I mean, no, right. And especially with family, like nobody wants that. But I think now, since we've been dealing with it for so long, everyone, that deals with us on the, like my mother-in-law and my mom, and like when they're doing stuff, they're very aware of it. They think about it all the time, but there's still those things that, you know, you just, those little things that you, that get missed or whatever. And I especially when we're far away from a big hospital, then I tend to be a little bit more, might ask a few more questions, might ask to read a few more labels, might, you know, but when you're your child's first line of defense, you just got to do it.
Right. Your EpiPen is only going to take you so far.
Yeah, it would get us. Well, luckily I have 6 of them. So hopefully the plan would be that, you know, maybe not all the kids would have a reaction at the same time. So I feel like we'd be okay. Yes, I did have, I think I had some, I did some EpiPens that were expired, but still good. I left several of them, you know, at the ranch, and I left some at my mom's, and I left some. So I feel like they're just like all over. They are temperature sensitive. So you can't like leave them in your car, which would be awesome if you could.
Let's talk about animal allergies a little bit, because you'd kind of explain to me how that works. Like, your kids are allergic to animals, but you're not going to necessarily keep them away from animals.
Yeah, I let them, especially the olders, Skylar and Marin are kind of getting to that age where it's kind of like a natural consequence, in my opinion. Like, they will get stuffy, they'll get hives, but it's their choice. You know, if you want to go love on that dog, go ahead, but no, this will happen.
Well, can they immediately take a shower after loving on the dog, or they still get an allergy response?
They, with animals, they're usually, you know, some Benadryl if they need it and a shower, and they're usually pretty good. The two youngers aren't real.
But yeah, it is, a lot of it is natural consequences, as long as it's not going to kill them, you know. Your job is to keep them alive, Austin. And they've really challenged you on that.
Yeah. I get a little nervous about like that junior high age, you know, because they've never had it freezes. Like, what's going to happen when they get to junior high? And they're like, well, I just want to see what happens. Like, when all those,
You'll die, child.
I know. I really hope that she doesn't do that. But like, you've all read those stories about, like, I think there was a Dateline about, you know, the kiss that killed her. You know, like her, whatever her boyfriend was, had a Reese's or something. Like, those things just, I don't think about them a lot, but they do cross my mind every once in a while. Like, holy cow, this is going to get different as she gets older.
So what support do you have for yourself in all of this? You're a stay-at-home mom. My experience in that is that it's super isolating. What have you done to get your, like, help un-isolate yourself as a stay-at-home mom?
I mean, I do have friends. I feel like I always have a couple stay-at-home mom friends. That's always helpful. One of my really good stay-at-home mom friends went back to work last year, and it took some adjusting. I'm sure it for her too, but for me, it took some adjusting to be like, whoa, like, she's not going to be home when I call her at 10 o'clock. Or she can't do play dates in the middle of the day. But now that the twins are in preschool a couple days a week, I'm trying to, you know, connect with friends that I haven't maybe got to connect with a lot lately, try to do more like coffee dates, or honestly, just like go to Target by myself, or I try to do stuff that I want to do. And it's hard because because it's this game, and I'm like, oh, I really need to be staying home. I really need to be like doing the laundry and cleaning and like doing all those things, but those things always get done. But I'm trying to be more purposeful about doing things for me, which is easier now that the kids are older. It's hard when they're little.
It's extremely hard when they're little. That's when I stayed home when they were little, and I was not mentally stable. So, but I wouldn't trade it. I mean, I needed that time and I wanted that time. And when they're, that first year is my favorite, and the second and third, not so much my favorite.
Yeah. 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 My number four too, which is Aubrey. She's the littlest. She's the youngest. Yeah, it's different. You know, their personalities are.
They've got two other, for you, they've got three other kids to be louder than, and mine has two other kids to be louder than. And it's she's winning. I think a lot of people think that being a stay-at-home mom is easy, which I have learned is not. How have you managed it? Like, what is, do you enjoy it? Is it something that you love? I mean, you have to love it to stay, to keep doing.
Yeah, I do. This is something I've wanted for a long time. So like, I do, I love it. Days are hard. Days are going to be hard. I mean, Clint 100% supports me being at home, which is obviously helpful. And he is really good about, you know, once a month, like I go out for like a mom's night. He's really good. Or like if I want to go do anything, you know, when it's, he's really good. He's like, yep, you go, I'll do, you know, he's great. He's a great support to help with that. I do think though, the hardest time though, for me as a stay-at-home mom was probably the twins' first year. And that was because they were so dependent on me. I mean, I was nursing two babies, so I couldn't leave for long. And even they were so small, like it was hard for Clint to be home by himself with them. Like it was just he was at work during the day. He didn't have to, it was hard. That was the hardest time probably as a stay-at-home mom, but you're like, whew, maybe if I just went to work. But then you have four kids and you're like, oh yeah, like we can't do that because we're not going to be able to afford daycare.
You know, I work to afford daycare right now. The part-time work that I do pays 100% for daycare. And that's And that's, we're still like cutting corners on everything else that we can cut corners on. I did it with the first two, you know, I stayed home and I did everything I could with them.
No matter what you do, that mom guilt shows up. And it doesn't matter if it's like, you know, whatever it is, you're at Target by yourself for too long and you're like, oh, I mean, it's just those little things that you, it's hard to take care of yourself when you're a mom. But I think it's hard for, I think it's even hard for like our moms to take care of themselves when they're moms. Like once you're a mom, your job is to take care of everyone else. And it's hard to revert back to taking care of yourself. Like I'm an extrovert. So I like to be with people. I like to talk to people. So I do enjoy connecting with friends, like new friends, old friends, like having coffee or, you know, that sort of thing. Or even like, I'll even like call old friends from college or whatever, you know, and just catch up. I'm trying to do that more, just maybe fill my bucket that way. I like to craft. I like to do that sort of thing. It's really hard to actually like craft in, I don't have a craft room. So it's like my kitchen table. So that's really hard to be like, all right, the twins are in preschool. I have 2 hours. You can't get much done in 2 hours. Oftentimes when I do like once a month, when I do my mom's night out, we will craft together. We'll go to somebody's house. We have all night. We get to, you know, eat, drink, do whatever we want to do. And we get to get a craft done. And that's, I feel like for all of the moms that meet there, it's kind of a fun thing because we all feel the same and we don't have a craft room. Like we don't have that luxury of having like a mess, just like stay a mess in one room.
Well, and I remember even trying to have a craft room and the kids would get in there and just destroy. I mean, I used to do crocheting all the time. Like I crocheted baby hats and I crocheted all sorts of blankets and I have those things and I'm throwing the yarn away because if I see one more booby trap made with my yarn and then it's all knotted up in this bag. And I'm like, I have organized this yarn bag 1,000 times. This is something I will take up again in 20 years because it is over. You know, all I have is things like glue sticks and construction paper now, because that's what I can handle. And that's, oh my gosh, it's just, I also love to craft and I just can't. And I love to paint and I can't keep my paints out. I have to, it's so frustrating. But yeah, you have to find where you can do that. So if I see like, if there's a canvas and cocktails going on, I can invite a girlfriend to go do that. Oh my gosh, it's like bucket full. Huge for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things like that are great. And of course, living in a city, you have like, we can go do that.
Yeah, we have those options. Otherwise, you have to create your own mom's group and you have to intentionally do those things.
Yes. Before the twins were born, I did do mops and I loved mops. Like mops was twice a month. It was amazing. I loved it. But the twins were born, COVID hit, and I haven't been back. And my kids are probably getting too old. I think it's like, what's the cut? Well, the twins are still 3, so I can still do it.
So they're in kindergarten.
They kick you out once your kids get to school. Yeah, so. In
you're on your own. You have all this free time. Get away from us.
Right. Right. Yeah. But that's something I should look into, maybe circling back around, because mops is a great place to go fill your bucket. And it's great because everyone's in your same boat there.
Yeah. So how can you give yourself grace today?
Don't worry about the small things, right? Just do what needs to be done. And I have to stop looking at all this stuff in my living room that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by giving myself grace?
Yeah. Take care of yourself, give yourself grace. And you know, sometimes the floor is sticky and you just have to walk around it.
Right.
Oftentimes the floor is sticky.
Right. Yes. Yes. That is something though that you have to practice. I feel like you have to practice giving yourself that time.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Austin. You can find more information in my show notes or at www.sheilakchester.com. And just a reminder, neither me or my guests are parenting experts. We are all just doing the best we can with the information we have. Don't forget to give yourself and others a little more grace today.
I said, raising grace.
That's right.
And our house.